if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast, also Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barron, Sander Sanchez, and a very special family edition with little Xander himself. How are you guys doing?
We got a little champ.
I'm just letting y'all know, there's going to be times where I'm not talking, he's going to take over for me, because he told me he's taking my job, and I'm not allowed to hit him yet, so I just kind of got to succumb to it and let him
When you're named after an all-star, you deserve that right.
This is the future shortstop of the Boston Red Sox, and if he does not become it, I'm changing teams. Posting free agents.
Very excited. Baby hot takes coming your way, too. Guys, I'm very excited because, you know, we had a UFC weekend that was fire. We also have a home run derby. But I do want to start with what we saw last night in the NBA Finals, because Game 3 was in Milwaukee. And the Bucks were facing an 0-2 deficit coming back to Milwaukee. But they handled business at home. And Giannis had a monster night with another 40-plus point performance, getting the big win for the Bucks, 120-100. Pride. Big wins usually mean a really big momentum switch come the series. You know, they got one more game in Milwaukee. Do you think that this puts the Bucks in a bigger favor to win the series now?
Not even close. Because imagine if they lose tomorrow. By your logic, if they have such a momentum swing right now, you're telling me if they lose tomorrow, I'm getting to that point. I promise. Just give me a minute. You're telling me that if tomorrow they lose, you have faith in this team when coming back from 3-1. Yeah, Tudor's going to get to it. This team, they had a great – listen, I'm not going to knock this Bucks team. They did great. I'm not going to knock them. But let's pump the brakes and remember Devin Booker had a horrible game. If Devin Booker is only just a fraction of what he is, bro, and not only that, if DeAndre Ayton so much as looked at Giannis, they gave him this kid a problem. Now, Giannis, again, he had a good game. Do you really have faith in him? That he coming from the free throw line, he's going to give you 76%. Are you going to depend on that? I'm asking for a friend because I'm getting there. Stop stealing my points. He sucks at free throws. my kid's trying to say he sucks at free throws. So 75% is phenomenal for him.
That's an anomaly for Giannis.
That's the point. If all of a sudden he has an anomaly game at the line, and on top of that, Devin Booker has a poor game, most of the time the Bucks are going to win. But again, those are two anomalies. And the fact that one anomaly happened, that's one thing. But if two anomalies have to happen congruently for you to win, you're not in a bad spot. You're in a horrible spot. You're in a spot where you look, the Bucks are a good team. Suns are a great team. This is not a momentum shift at all. Now, we can revisit this. And let's say the Bucks win game four and it's 2-2. Now we can revisit this. But again, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, it's such a massive momentum swing. I'm not going to do that because if they lose game four, you really believe – if anybody out there thinks this Bucks team can come back 3-1, please hit me up because I promise you I have a bridge in Brooklyn I can sell you, bro, because this team is not coming. So everyone is like, oh, my God, the Bucks are back. No, they're not. Knock it off. I mean, they're not back just yet. Let's wait till game four. Let's see if Giannis can not only continue to hit free throws, but let's see if maybe Devin Booker can pick himself up, because I believe he can. I think he had a horrible game. He had a tough game. And if you look at everybody else, Jay Crowder was phenomenal. This dude, if I'm not mistaken, he only missed 1-3. Now, I don't care how many he's shooting.
He was 6-for-7. Yeah.
I don't care how many threes you're shooting. It could be 2. It could be 4. Don't. If you're only missing 1, give me that guy. Give me that guy. Steve Reiser says, neither team is great, but the Suns are a better team. You out of your mind. No disrespect, brother, but you are out of your mind. The Suns are – listen, and this is coming from a guy who thought I agree, Suns win Wednesday. It's over 100%. But this is coming from a guy who thought the Lakers would sweep the Suns. This is what I'm saying. Dare I say, even with a healthy Suns and healthy Denver, the Suns could probably still be in the finals. Healthy Clippers, I think they could have. So is this a momentum swing? I'm not going to say yes. I want to wait just a little bit. I want to see game four. I want to see how they react and how they come up. Because remember, Drew Holiday stepped up, and I'll give him kudos. But you got Chris Murphy shooting 43%. You still got him shooting 43%.
Yeah.
Which, if you're gonna say that's good,
you're looking like your third guy.
Again, I have 10 minutes from my house, bro. If anyone wants to say 43% is good, let me know. Hit me up. 10 minutes from my house is an eye doctor. I'll refer you because ain't no way you're gonna sit there and tell me that 43% is good. So I'm gonna wait till game four. So far, there's no momentum swing. As far as I'm concerned, the momentum is at the same exact spot. It's at the same exact spot. I don't think the Bucks gained any momentum because again, there were stretches where the Suns were in it. There were stretches where the Suns were in it. And again, kudos to the Bucks. They battened down and they ended up executing later down the road. So I'm not gonna, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna poo-poo on their dub. It was a good dub. But again, two anomalies happening congruently, and that's what took you to win this game. Ain't no way. Look, man, I'm waiting to be rich. I'm waiting. But you know what has happened for me to be rich, bro? A lot of things need to happen to be for me to be rich, bro. And they need to happen congruently, bro. So the Bucks ain't as lucky as me, bro. They not as lucky as me. So if y'all gonna sit there and think that, oh, the momentum shifted and these guys are good, nah, bro. After game four, this will be a great topic. But as of right now, I'm saying no.
Yeah, no, they definitely need to even up the series before we talking about momentum being shifted by any stretch. Guys, they only won one game. And the one game that they finally won, I feel like it's finally realized, hey, we get DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble early in the game and have him out of the game come towards the end, we can actually dominate because can't nobody stop Giannis into the paint. And I think I'm done saying that Giannis needs to develop a shot. I don't even think he needs to develop a shot anymore. What he needs to develop is a consistent free throw because the dude can straight up average 15 to 16 free throws a game. And if he bangs 10 to 12 of those on an average, that's not great. That's not perfect. But guess what? It's good enough to give you 10 plus points off the free throw line because ain't nobody on Phoenix right now stopping this kid, stopping him from getting to the rack. The dude is playing. He's reached a level. He's playing on some gaudy level right now. Like he's literally carrying the buck. Even after the injury, he's put up a historic second straight 40-point game in the NBA Finals. Like, the dude is doing everything he has to do to make sure that, God forbid, if we lose this series, ain't nobody going to look at me like, yo, Giannis didn't do anything to win this series because the dude literally is carrying them on their back. They got some work from Jrue Holiday. I mean, you would expect that from your second, not your third guy, but hey, when your skin guy is off, you guys preach it all the time. The third guy got to step up, and Jrue Holiday did. But how many times are we going to see this from Middleton before we actually realize, guys, I don't even think this guy could be your best set guy. At best, he could be your third guy on a championship-type team. Because Jrue Holiday, I mean, I said it before, the dude is a few steps from being a superstar in pride's eyes. He's very talented. He's been a journeyman in the league a little bit, landing on a few teams. But every single team that he's been on, the dude was never a bum. He's always produced, and he's always made good plays, and he's getting better. Right now, Jrue Holiday is showing that he can try and give Giannis what Giannis needs to help out when Middleton goes on one of those little spells where he can't make anything. He can't even buy a bucket anymore. Middleton, not 20, top 25.
I said it a while back, guys.
Y'all remember the only reason I think Middleton was an all-star was because he plays with Giannis and Giannis picked them first. So it wasn't like, you know what I mean? It wasn't so that's what I'm trying to say. Middleton is a borderline all-star at best on his best. Nonetheless, guys, yes, the Bucks won. It's not a momentum swing. Although I feel like I said earlier, the Bucks kind of figured out what they can do to try and beat the Phoenix Suns. Because the Phoenix Suns, after Ayton, with the loss of Saric and Frank Kaminsky, who shouldn't even be playing, like the dude is 7 foot nothing because he gives you nothing. And literally, besides Ayton, there's nobody who can stop Giannis getting to the rack. And when Ayton does get in foul trouble, that's if he gets in foul trouble, because I don't think Ayton is dumb enough to make stupid plays to get in foul trouble. He hasn't been getting in foul trouble this entire series. I think this was just, like I say, an anomaly for Ayton getting in foul trouble the way he did. Because if you're betting on, okay, if we get him out of the game, we could win this game. You're going to try and do that four games in a row? Good luck, because the Phoenix Suns under Monty Williams and Chris Paul, you're going to make the right adjustments so you guys, Ayton, doesn't fall under that. That's the great thing about this Phoenix team, guys. They have leadership. They have guys who can put players on the right spot. There's nobody on the Milwaukee Bucks that can run that offense. Nobody running that offense. Their offense basically is Giannis clearing out the lane, running head first, and then passing it out. That there's no fluidity. There's no guy like a Chris Paul, like a ball handler, who can put guys at their spots to be successful. And besides Middleton, who at best is C average, he's the only one, and Jrue Holiday that can get their own shot off dribble. And when you depend on those type of guys to get your shot off the dribble, you know, it's curtains. So right now at Phoenix, they took it as, this is one game we can adjust. We got to make sure that Ayton doesn't get in foul trouble, because Ayton doesn't fall in foul trouble. The dude has been eating all series, and he's been one of the most efficient players historically this entire playoffs. So I don't, if you're banking Milwaukee and you're banking, all we got to do is get him in foul trouble. Dude, you guys are still going to go down in five, because I'm going into game four thinking that Phoenix is going to make right adjustments and probably going to spank Milwaukee in Milwaukee. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, you make great points, you know, and I do agree that I think that Phoenix still has the upper hand in the series, because I do feel that the combination of Chris Paul and Devin Booker is going to outlast the production of not only Giannis, but you're going to be playing, you know, Russian roulette with Middleton and Jrue Holiday as you go. One of them two is going to fire off, one is not. And if you do get both, then Milwaukee will probably win the game. But what I really see in this whole scenario is that the momentum winner, if anything, is Giannis, because Giannis knows that he can go out there and dominate any day on any given floor on the basketball court. And he can do it right now. He's done it back-to-back games now. And Giannis is really taking off and showing them, like, you know what? I could get 40. Like, I really want my guys to roll with me. But if they're not there, I'm just going to go drop 41 and go to the free throw line. Like you said, Sander, like, listen, if he just develops a consistent free throw line, a free throw shot, this guy's going to be deadly and be able to give you those 40-point games more consistently. Because, you mentioned the point. This is an anomaly in the sense that he hit 13 or 17. That doesn't happen. But he is going to go out there, and what I love about him is that he's not shy about going to the rim and shoot those free throws. We saw the worst example of that scenario in Ben Simmons, that just shies away from physical contact at all, you know? So, like, and that's what you don't want from Giannis. You don't want Giannis to be tearing up. You want him to go out there and be the Greek freak, and that's exactly what he's being. So, listen, big shout-out to Giannis and his big game pride, but Milwaukee still has a lot to prove if they're going to get back in the series.
I got a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
You guys think that on these games that Booker's been off is because of that nose that's bothering him?
No. Mm-mm. Wrong. No. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm.
So last time I checked, you
can shoot without a nose. That's last time I checked, you can shoot without a nose. If he got jabbed in the eye, if he twisted his ankle, messed up the shoulder, that's fine. Come on, bro. Fam, you need a sneeze to shoot the ball? Come on. You need to blow your nose to penetrate?
I agree. I don't think that the nose is part of his game being off right now. I do think that Chris Middleton being throwing a hip now, that's what's really the what has been challenging for him, having to shoot over the 6'9" guy that Middleton is. He's a different defender than Jrue Holiday brings to the table, because he physically, at a stature, he's presentable next to Jrue Holiday. They're both 6'5", 6'6" area. Middleton's a little more lengthier. He's almost like Giannis, almost in that same sense that he can just have his arms on. He's just lengthier. So I think that's really the challenge, what it is, the combination of those two back-to-back. But Book's going to snap out of his cold streak. He said yesterday he went 3-for-14. That's not Devin Booker. That's as worse as you're going to get from Devin Booker in the series. I'm sure come game four, you know, he was actually benched the whole fourth quarter. Monty Williams saw after a while that the team wasn't going to get back in the game. He's like, you know what, Book, we're going to bag it up for tonight. We're going to come back for game four, and we'll get it back in gear. And, you know, I do expect Book to come back in game four being very aggressive, Sander, and, you know, maybe giving us a 30-point night, because we're due for a Devin Booker night again in the series.
It's game three. I'm not bugging. Like, I'm not tripping. Like, I think Booker's gonna be back. He'll be fine. He's gonna cook them. He's gonna make the Bucks demand a release. Like, I'm not concerned with him at all. I'm really not.
He's good.
Unless he gets injured, like, not. I sneezed too hard. No. Unless the dude is out with like an ACL or something like that, I'll panic. Till then, I ain't really concerned. There was a comment that Jose did earlier. He said it's a game of adjustments, and the Suns will adjust and win the series. Honestly, bro, they don't even have to adjust. Dare I say, no adjustment needed. I don't think they need to adjust because they played that game how they did game one and game two. The only difference, Devin Booker couldn't buy a bucket. You could have given him a super max and he still couldn't buy a bucket. And Giannis, all of a sudden, couldn't make buckets from the free throw line. It was bizarre. It's almost as if Devin Booker decided to play for the Bucks because that's how Giannis was at the free throw line. Why? That made no sense at all. So, like, I don't think they really need to do anything. The Suns are going to come. Giannis is going to go. He's going to start breaking it from the free throw. You feel me? He's going to be like, yo, I want to build a house for my people for charity. And he's going to start laying down them bricks again. We're going to see Dwight Howard. Sorry, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The real one, stand up. He's going to stand up. So I ain't concerned about it.
Phoenix in five.
I'm being cornball. This game didn't count. Suns in four. Game didn't count.
Yeah, those t-shirts still go on sale, so it don't even matter. Something cold. Nonetheless, guys. But I do want to get to what I mentioned earlier about UFC Fight Night because, you know, we saw the trilogy between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier come to a very stunning finale, you know, in the middle of the fight in the first round. Guys were exchanging. Conor misses a hit, or earlier in the fight, I should say, lands a kick, breaks a little something, and then he goes and swings, and there you go. You see the injury. If anybody is watching our sports fans that be following us, we're going to play the injury right now for anybody that hasn't seen it because it is a little gruesome. So careful there. Oh.
Dude, yeah. Stinky leg. Golly, that was tough.
Oh, my leg.
Oh. Jeez. Oh, Sander, that meme you sent us earlier of the Dak Prescott one with the Conor McGregor face, you know, it's kind of so accurate that it was painfully hilarious because it was just so true, almost true to it, you know, and it was just bad to see a guy like Conor McGregor go out like that, especially seeing that he was already getting beat up in the first place. The last thing that you wanted at that situation is to get punched in the face and get them breaking your leg. But, Sander, your reaction to what happened in the fight and what's next for both the fighters?
Well, what's next for both the fighters straight up is Dustin is getting his challenge for the belt. And Conor is going to straight up rehabilitate that leg and try and get better. He had a successful surgery. It was his fibula that broke. He says that it was a clean snap, but he's good. A year of 18 months to recover, and he'll be training. Now, guys, I'm going to straight up say this. It was kind of deflating to see the ending because it was the signs of the beginning of a great fight. You know, both guys went at it. It was a 10-9 for sure, Dustin Poirier, you know, I say it could have gone both ways, but it was Dustin Poirier because of the takedown for sure. But like we said, even when he took him down, let's not act like he was Khabib the guy and straight dominating him. Conor was throwing elbows. Conor was making him work. Conor even straight up defended a takedown. So, and coming off the gate, Conor
tried that desperate ass guillotine. That was pretty pathetic.
Tried it twice. He tried the second one. The first one was good. The first one was good and in there. The second one was that I think he got in. He was a little bit too tired for the second one. But still, nonetheless, it was the signs of a great fight. And the fact that it got cut short like that, like again, we've watched Weidman Silva. We watched Weidman break his own leg. We watched now this. It's like
we see Paul George.
These injuries, well, in the fight game, keeping it in the fight game, these injuries in the fight game, when it's like, damn, man, you lost the fight by snapping your leg, and it wasn't like someone snapped it on a leg lock, on an ankle lock, you feel me? It was just a freak accident, and you don't ever want to see anything end like that, especially a trilogy, which is a grudge match, basically, between both the guys. Both of them were 1-1. You saw Dustin Poirier, 1-1. So they were 1-1 going into that fight, and then it ending like that. It left so much to be desired. Now, and I hear you. I hear the fourth one. Dana White already guaranteeing that there's gonna be a fourth one because, and I quote, it can't end that way. You understand? And whatever, Dustin Poirier is most likely gonna get a shot, right? If he wins the title shot, I don't see Conor McGregor coming back in 18 months and deserving a straight title shot just for the fourth fight.
Oh, no.
He has to at least work his way up, maybe one or two fights the most, at least one or two fights to get his name, to build him back up, because Conor McGregor is going to be another year older come 18 months from now, and he's going to be possibly a few hundred million richer depending on his business endeavors. So again, You know, everybody likes to reference the quote by Marvin Hagler. It's hard to wake up at 4 a.m. to you know, do pigment when you're in a silk pajamas. You understand? So I understand all that now, especially going to injury. If he would have lost the fight come unanimous decision or TKO and decided, you know what, I'm good. But for him to lose the fight like that, you know he's going to want to correct that. A lot of people going to be like, damn, Conor, like an injury like this when it's your fibula. You know, we've seen something with Luke Rockhold. He's one to throw a lot of kicks, and he threw so many kicks throughout his career where he has to wear a leg sleeve on his left leg, and he can't kick like he used to, and that's what he's known for. So a guy like Conor, who's known for his karate style and his movement in the UFC, you know, that's that type of injury compromises a guy like Conor McGregor. Especially, this isn't Conor McGregor who's 20, 28, 29, on the come-up hungry, you understand? This is an older Conor. So Dustin Poirier talking shit at the end of the fight like he did something, bro, straight up, your wife was in my man's DM. So I don't care what you say. Talk all the crap you want, but check your wife. Check your wife, because she's out here DMing Conor. But, hey, guys, like I said, it was a good fight. It was a good card. You know, other than Conor McGregor's fibula doing the chicken wing, everything else was good.
Mm-hmm. So, what should both fighters do? The first thing Dustin Poirier should do, go home. Open Yellow Pages, if they still have it. Find a good PR firm, because this dude is the dumbest guy I've ever met in my life. How are you going to say F you to the fans, and then 2 minutes later say, by the way, guys, I need donos? Question mark? he comes and does the McGregor strut. Oh, yeah, I beat you. Then afterwards, yeah, man, it doesn't count. What are you talking about? And this is the same dude who went after randoms when they was making jokes about Chris Weidman snapping his ankle. Now the cornball talking about, oh man, well, if only his leg would have held. Fam, Conor must have hit you good enough to have you have a concussion, because Dustin did not know what he wanted to say. This dude was so all over the place. Like, 1 minute, oh yeah, the fans, quote, y'all can kiss my whole asshole. Y'all, you so desperate want to be Conor, then all of a sudden, oh, and by the way, guys, I'm a good guy. I go to church. Hey, guys, I need money for donations because you know, I'm a good guy.
My little hot sauce isn't selling.
Is this the same supposed charity? Because he threw out names, never thought the name of the charity, dare I add. But no one wants to talk about that. Is this the same charity that your girl was trying to hit up Conor for? Charity? Question mark? And I promise I wasn't going to, like, put his wife into it. But when she came off and flipped them off, that basically was saying, F you. Are you referring to what you want to do to Conor? Is Dustin not entertaining you? Question mark? Because that's what – bro, when Conor came back – listen, I'm going to say this right now. Your leg is broken. You're sitting down. For the man to say your wife is in my DMs, Dustin, do not fight it. Go home. You lost.
Hey, you, baby.
If you want to take the win in the fight, go ahead. That's fine. But in terms of like, trash talking, you can't, bro. Because the thing is, he's not just saying that. Fam, it's real life. It's real life. Your girl was really in his DM. When's the last time Conor's girl was in any fighter's DM? When? Question mark? Never. 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 So already, in terms of, like, trash talking, Dustin, just don't engage, bro. Because you're going to look dumb. Because you can't all of a sudden be like, oh, yeah, I want to fight. Like, yo, Dustin, you're already taking too many wrong steps already. First, you'd be like, yeah, bro, I beat him.
No, you know what it's kind of like? It's like kind of like, remember when people were clowning Carmelo because the whole Lala with Tommy
thing?
Yes! Yes!
It's like Honey Nut Cheerios. That's the quote. MSG, I will never forget it. That made me love KG. KG's goated for me. No BS, bro. You like no lie. When the whole Hall of Fame thing was going on, I watched just for him. Then just cut that line. And I kid you not, when he passes away, when he does, on his gravestone, Lala tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios, and Melo be dressed in all black with a hat and glasses in the distance. Just
he gonna be in black and red, bro.
100%. Now, what's that? I mean, obviously, Dustin's gonna have to fight Chandler, or not Chandler, I'm sorry, Charles. He's gonna have to, because the winner was supposed to fight him. I mean, I got Charles in that fight, but it's close. I don't think it's like, if you're saying, hold on, JJ, if you're gonna say it's not even close,
No, that's a slow.
That's all I'm saying. I'm saying it's a close one. If Dustin wins, Dustin's not fighting for a year. Because it's going to take about 6 months. Dana's going to drag this out. He going to drag it out. He gonna in like 6-7 months. Don't be surprised.
This might be like a Christmas fight or something.
Yes, like it, don't be surprised if in like 6-7 months, that's when all of a sudden they fight.
Or New Year's, maybe.
And then Dustin, maybe New Year's to start the new year off with a bang, maybe. But don't I expect Dana to like play this, stretch it out. And he's gonna be like, yo, Dustin, come here, put it in your contract. You're doing drugs. You're doing PEDs. Hit up John Jones. We picoing you up, bro. They need to beat this kid, bro. Because you and Connor, that's money. And bro, Dustin's going to come out with no neck. I'm talking about Brock Lesnar when he fought Mark Hunt. When this dude looked like his head was looking weird, bro. That's how Dustin's going to come out, bro. He's going to win. And then Dustin's going to be like, go home for a year. And then Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira, who else do I want to throw? Justin Gaethje, Beneil Dariush. Let's throw them all in the corner. Let's let them play with each other. Go fight. Do something. Oh, you don't like it? Go to Bellator. Fight. Okay? And on the low, call Connor. Connor, how you feeling, bro? Oh, you good? All right, bet. Let me know when you want me to drop it. And boom. Out of nowhere, bro. Dustin, go. His first title defense is going to be. That's what Dana wants to do.
That'll be so stupid.
Dana wants to do that so bad. And Dana wants to do that so bad. He wants to do that so bad. If Dustin's first title defense could be Connor, he's going to do it.
I think that it could come down to that. That Dustin, I mean, whoever wins between Charles and Dustin is yet to be determined. But I think that that in itself might actually be another title defense for either fighter. If Dustin wins it, I think that he will have to fight Charles in a rematch for his first title defense. And if Charles wins, then he'll be fighting Dustin again. Because I think right now Dustin is undisputedly, at least to me, the number one contender at that division.
And you're the same guy who thought Aljamain Sterling deserved the belt over Petr Yan.
Who? So
that's because if you're gonna sit there and say without a shadow of a doubt that he's better when he won off a freak accident, you must be in the same camp that thinks Aljamain Sterling deserves.
You don't think Dustin Poirier is better than Conor McGregor right now?
But we can't say that because it was.
I'm going off what I saw the last fight too.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because how many times have guys came to third fight, won, and then won the third fight?
Based off the last three rounds you've seen, Dustin just won that round, and he just won the last fight against him. I'm going off that. Dustin right now is higher in the power rankings than Conor McGregor is at this moment. That's just the way I see it.
And John Jones is number one in the power rankings. Does that mean he's better than Kamaru Usman?
Legacy-wise?
No, I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about legacy. That's not even fair.
Usman is number one right now. So then
you can't give me just the power rankings. Like, I don't know who's better right now. I'm interested to see what
the power rankings are going to look like in the next few days.
Connor's gonna probably be 10.
And I think that 10 would be appropriate for McGregor at this moment.
Yeah, of course. I'm not gonna disagree with it. He can't get a title fight after that. He can't get a title fight.
He can. If it's Dustin, and you know Dana's a fiend for money. Dustin's the champ, he'll give it to Connor.
I don't see that.
But John Jones hasn't fought in how long? And his first fight is going to be for the title in a division that he never fought in.
So all right, now rank both those guys between John Jones and Conor McGregor.
I don't know who's better.
I know we don't believe in special treatments around here, but if somebody got special treatment,
they both get special treatment. Come on, fam. John Jones is so much.
I'm definitely hella disappointed on John Jones, too. But is John Jones compared to Conor McGregor?
No, because Conor's
bigger.
He gets any fight he wants. Period. He gets any fight.
Who's already on the legacy board, Sander?
But we're not talking about who's
more weight. Who's more weight in the UFC?
Come on, for you to say no. You can't just keep throwing out the legacy as in I got you, because if by that logic, the Cowboy Donald Cerrone is now the number one contender. By your logic, we're going to give Khabib a title fight. By your logic, Rafael Dos Anjos is now.
I mean, you already know Khabib, baby boy, to me. Khabib should still be on that division right now, to this day.
Before I see Conor and Poirier 4, I would like a scenario where Conor, when he comes back, right, he can either start with the trilogy, right? He can start with a moneymaker, a banger, a trilogy.
He doesn't want money, though.
No. It's not, but he has to build his name, bro. He has to build his name. He He has to get a few fights under his belt, no, right?
If it's Dustin, he doesn't off need of it.
Broken yes, leg can. And straight yes, go can. For a title
because
fight.
If it's Dustin, because he's yes, gonna lose. It doesn't matter if he's gonna lose or not. Matter. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
At the end of the day, Dana White's gonna be like, "What's gonna give me more money?"
Listen, and that scenario, Dana wins regardless. Regardless, Connor were to win, Connor's a champion.
That doesn't. That no, no. But the thing is, right now, what's the hottest rivalry right now?
Dustin.
If you say anything, exactly. Dustin. So when Dustin. He comes back and Dustin's the champ, Dana White's first thing is going to be, Connor, are you ready? You're getting a title shot. That's going to be the first thing he does because that's what he's going to want to do.
That you know what?
And he's done it before.
A terrible idea, but you're probably right.
Because he's done this before. Like yeah. Dana has done this before.
I can see that. Well, I can see that.
Who have you done this before with? Who came John back off a broken leg?
John Jones got a rematch with Daniel Cormier after getting popped. What are you talking about?
That's not the same thing as John Jones didn't lose three fights in a row, bro. What are you talking about? This is not the same thing.
Conor
McGregor's going into the Dustin Poirier fight.
That's a big point, too.
He didn't get dominated. It's a freak. If he got dominated,
then Conor McGregor will redesign, rebuild, and
reclaim,
bro.
And he's going to have to reclaim the rankings. I'm with you. But it's a freak injury. You can't just be like, oh, freak injury. Oh, Dustin's better. You can't say that because you don't know.
No one's saying he better, but he can't get a title fight after that.
I'm saying he better shit.
You can't say that because it was a freak injury.
Poirier better than McGregor right now.
I can't say that. Well, if you want to do it based on health, fine, sure. But if you're talking about I can't say that. I can't.
Overall, everything.
That's fine. I can't. But my thing is, Dana's going to want to make that fight, period. In his ideal world.
And we're going to want to watch it.
Everybody, exactly. Dustin Poirier has beat, McGregor has beat, except for Gaethje. Everybody Dustin has beat, McGregor has beat already, except for Gaethje. That's the only one who McGregor hasn't fought. So for you to act like Dustin Poirier is so much better than McGregor, McGregor already beat, look at the list. Who he beat, this dude, what's his name, Hawaiian kid.
Max Holloway.
He beat Max Holloway and McGregor finished Max Holloway. You feel me? Just straight mopped the floor with him. And Dustin Poirier lasted all.
I think that would be a great fight for Conor McGregor to come back to.
I want
to
see him coming off. I mean, I want him to see at least two fights, bro. At least two fights. He needs to fight.
But the thing is, and here's the thing, JJ. He's saying that's what he
wants. He needs momentum.
Ready to hear the gut punch? It doesn't matter. Because when Dana White ends up putting the first fight back, Conor versus Dustin for the title, you're going to watch. And you're not going to complain.
Let's bet skittles on it. You're not going to complain at
all. You're not going to complain at all. Because that's, in terms of Dana White's eyes, he wants to sell. He wants a fight that could sell. And right now, with that being the hottest rivalry, that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. Whether I agree with it or not, don't matter. It don't matter because I don't run the UFC. So, and I ain't part of his little organization, so I can't go up to him and be like, yo, Dana, what you doing? You dumb. I can't say that. I'm not allowed to. I mean, I can't scream it over the airwaves, but he don't listen to me. He don't know me. You feel me? So it don't matter. But that's what Dana's going to want to do. If you don't see the money printed on that, bro, I don't. And Dana's really, like,
there's first money in everything Conor does, though, bro, because there'll be me in a third fight with Nate Diaz. Money in a fight. Let's say he beats this.
Who's gonna buy it more? Hold on. Main event. What's the better fight? What's the better fight with Conor coming back? The trilogy with him and Nate Diaz, or the fourth fight with him and Dustin for the title? If you say Nate Diaz, this conversation is over.
What's better for McGregor?
No. In terms of the UFC selling,
Obviously, it's gonna sell more a title. Come on,
man. And that's my point. That's what Dana White is thinking, and Dana White's gonna.
It's not the logical thing to do. It doesn't matter.
Because Dana White does illogical for a long time.
I'm trying to make logical points.
He out here sucking John Jones like crazy. That's hella illogical. One minute he hates him, next thing you know, he hugging him. And they taking pictures, and they like, yo, John, let's go to the beach. Let's talk about your next contract. So Dana White, logical. He a weirdo. We already know that. He definitely is a weirdo. But I don't know, man. If you think Dustin's better after this fight, I don't want to converse with you. I just
I'm gonna keep on saying it to my face is blue as my shirt.
So Mariah Hart better than Chris White.
I got Dustin beating Charles.
Would you have been saying that?
If Dustin had broken his leg,
Connor wasn't gonna win. And if Dustin would have broken his leg, I'll be sounding like you guys right now.
Mad. See? So instead of saying, oh yeah, man, Connor's the better fighter. Oh, but he got away.
Connor not the better fighter, but that's gonna be a conversation for another day. Because I do want to talk about the events going on tonight. It's one of my favorite events of the whole year. Me and my dad watched plenty of these together growing up. It's the Home Run Derby, guys. And we got Shohei Ohtani. We got Pete Alonso defending his title, among other guys. And I'm very excited. Hey, I love the long ball. You already know the chicks dig the long ball as well. And, hey, we'll see who's going to win tonight, guys. Pride, who you think got a chance to win the trophy?
First of all, I mean, there's no discussion. Like, Shohei Ohtani, right? He's a favorite, right? I mean, I love him. He's the GOAT to me. He's my GOAT. Like, no.
You're here already. Go to
That's my goal. I don't care what anyone says. You disagree. I'm just not talking to you. Yeah. Period. That's my goal.
I'm on the Shohei train right now. For sure.
No. Get off.
Just because you sit more in front than me don't mean that we on the same train.
I'm driving the train.
Okay. That's fine. I'm a passenger. I'm on the train, though.
Yo, our guy, Jose Roman, I love
him. Not passenger, bro. He's in the third row in the
back. No. Jose was there with me screaming, Shohei legit. Jose was there. So he passenger with me. When I want to take a break, when I'm on my lunch, he drives a little bit.
Whatever, I'm chilling in the back, bro.
Stay back there. That's fine. Stay back there. So guess what? When we see it live and in person, you just missed it because you're too far back to see. So we
could. I can see everything, bro. I see it all.
Well, I mean, with how far he be hitting, as long as you're on the train, you'll see it, bro. No matter how long this train is. Now, obviously, he's the favorite. But I'm not going to say it's like a definitive thing that he's winning. I'm not going to go that far because if you see the guys, right, in terms of their max distance, right, do you know who has the shortest home run in terms of, like, the furthest one? Do you know who has the shortest one? Juan Soto, 437.
Yeah.
Damn, I can't even count to 437. Now, imagine hitting a ball 437. Let that sink in. And, bro, that's the shortest. That's the shortest.
It's short.
And, bro, you take it straight. Come on, fam. Come on, bro. I'm taking Ohtani. I love Pete Alonso. I think right now, Ohtani, bro, it don't matter what you throw at him, bro. Throw a bowling ball. Give him an old broomstick. Let's do the fun away. Yeah, that's just all when it comes to Trey Mancini. Inspiring story. Who came back? Feel me? He plays for Baltimore, so you don't really know about it, which is sad, bro. Mancini. My dude was sick. Came back. Home run derby. Chupamelo por atrás. That's what he's screaming. That's what he screamed at the top of his lungs to everybody, bro. Joey Gallo, I mean, no disrespect to Joey, but you can say he's a dark horse. I think my legit dark horse would be Trevor Story. If I have to pick a legitimate dark horse, I think Trevor Story's my guy. And just because he swings, his swing low-key reminds me a little bit like Jose Altuve, right? They're not the biggest, but every fiber of their being, they're putting everything in that bowl. Jose Altuve, a few weeks ago, they were playing, the Houston Astros were playing the greatest organization ever, greatest guys on earth, the Boston Red Sox, right? This dude was on his front foot. Loaded on his front foot, did the most awkward, slow, ugliest swing I've ever seen in my life. This dude hit it with Green Monster. Let Mike Trout do that, he grounded out. 100%.
Or getting hurt.
Like, ain't no way on God's green earth, bro. Like, I'm going to give him some respect. Salvador Perez, I just think he's – I don't think he really got it in him to go. He might finish a round, but in terms of, like, going the whole way, I don't really see it. I low-key wanted Vladdy because Vladdy versus Pete. I don't know about
Chavez. You don't think it's shiesty they put Salvador against Pete Alonso?
That was like a sacrificial lamb. Like, yeah. That was like, hey, fam, you're old. We'll just give you this. Show up, hit for, go home. Don't ever be seen again, bro. Go back to Kansas City. You feel me? Just don't even worry about it, bro. If Pete Alonso loses, bro, I will be shocked. That will be a shock. But, yeah. I mean, he got a puncher's hand, so to speak. You know, I don't want to be cheesy. I don't want to be a cornball, right? So I'm not going to pick Shohei Ohtani, even though he's a favorite. Right?
What up? Give me the field then.
Who's the final? Who's the final? Who's winning?
You're telling me I have to pick between Ohtani and the field? Oh, I'm taking the field. Don't do that. I'll take the field.
The final. Who's winning, bro?
I'm being horrible.
I'll take Skittles for Ohtani because, I mean, I get my take. I think Ohtani going to win the whole damn thing.
You can have the field.
I don't care.
Don't do that. Because I was thinking about this, bro. I'm looking at it to act like Trevor Story can't do it.
I'm looking for Skittles.
Like, to act like Matt Olson from the A's can't do it.
Yo, I'm saying he got to face Juan Soto in the first round. I think he's
going to
have to smack like 20 plus to get Soto. I'm just saying, like, he got
the first round. How many you got Ohtani hit in the first round?
Ohtani might have to smack like 18, close to 20 to beat Soto.
No. Pick a number. I'm curious. Pick a number. Quick. I'm gonna be on the spot. Quick. Stop.
18.
And guess what? Juan Soto went 19. What are we talking about, bro? What are we talking about?
So put your skills on Soto then.
I'll do the field. I'm gonna be a cheat. I'll take the field. I'm gonna be a cornball. In my heart of hearts, I do believe Ohtani can win. But I'm looking at the field.
No, you don't. No.
Hold on.
Hear me out.
But the thing is, hold on. This isn't a situation where it's like a dominant hitter versus nobody.
Oh no, it's like, not very
guys, you see what I'm saying? That's only reason, I mean, Ohtani's gonna win, but you know what? Just to be that guy, I'm picking the field. And you feel me? When Trevor Story hits his 30th in one round, I'll wait for my apology. When Juan Soto knocks Shohei out of the first round, I'll wait for my written apology. Like y'all hear in the intro, instead of LeBron getting a written apology, your boy getting one. And in the beginning of Wednesday, guess what? I'm gonna read the apology live in front of everybody.
For the record, the bet is not on Trevor Story or Ohtani's home runs. It's Ohtani versus the field.
Yes, Ohtani versus the field. This is easy.
Let's go. Skittles on that. And I'm going to tell you why I pick Ohtani, because I feel Ohtani Sander right now is just in this historical right now moment where I just feel like things are just falling into place for a special season, for a special guy. And that's why I see Ohtani winning this thing. The way that this guy is watching the ball, you know, just the way that he's looking at the way the ball is coming out of pitcher's hands is just unbelievable right now. He's leading the league with 32 home runs right now, and this is amazing to see him swinging. Hey, you're going to be throwing him balls that are meant to be hit home runs. Man, I'm taking him against everybody. All these guys, everybody. Ain't nobody going to mess with my guy Ohtani right now. And I'm telling you, by the end of this season, I'm going to be closing up on that driver's seat pride because I'm on that Ohtani train.
Nope.
I'm
going to keep – I don't care.
I might have to throw you overboard. I don't care how it's going to happen, but I am going to go and you know be near the front of that train.
I'm going to put it to you this way. Starting next year, the instant I see you move up a seat, Shohei Ohtani is better than Jacob DeGrom. Test me. You move up one seat, and I put him over DeGrom. Test me. You're not taking my spot.
Why you got to touch pitching God, bro? You like, you just go way the hell up there.
I have to, because I'm driving, right? I'm driving. I cannot have someone backseat driving. Don't tell me to take a left. Ohtani told me to go straight. So that's
I'm not saying I'm gonna drive. I'm just saying that I'm gonna be up in first class. That's all I'm saying.
Matter
of fact, you can stay first class.
I just want first class tickets. I'm gonna wait back right now. Like, listen,
you can keep staying first class. You're not getting any further than that. I still have his number.
That's cool.
So I can hit him up and be like, yo, Tony, where we going? And says what he says.
I'm still waiting for a chance to meet the man. You got y'all on a first name basis. So
100%.
Go ahead, Sander.
Bro, he called me Baca.
He's 99 in my book for sure, man. Ohtani is the real deal. You know, I wasn't on the train as for pride, but I was definitely on the train because I remember saying you bugging because you was like, I think Ohtani's all hype. But imagine a world where we have like five or six Ohtanis. Oh, no, JJ. I think he's all hype. And we were like, what? Yeah, JJ, you bugging. But we need like five Ohtanis in the league and then maybe put them all in one team. Yankees need a sparse $1 billion to produce five Ohtanis, because that's what we need, man. Nonetheless, man, the guy's already – he's like the Mahomes of the MLB right now to me right now. He's good, that great. But nonetheless, guys, I got the upset. I got the big upset, and I got Juan Soto upset.
Give me Skittles too, then.
I got Juan Soto to win the entire thing, actually.
They give me two bags.
Let's bet two bags on it, bro. We could bet on him being on him winning, because I feel that confident in my boy Juan Soto with his little dance at the batting at the plate. You know, I'm all for it.
He's his way out the brackets if he keep playing.
Nonetheless, yo, we got a bunch of names right here. I'm gonna keep that with you. I ain't know who the hell Matt Olson won to. Who the hell Matt Olson was until I looked at a few of his highlights today, and the dude could swing. Another dude, Joey Gallo, he's been in the league for a few years, but this is the first time I actually saw him. So he definitely swings a hot bat too. But I think right now all the pressure, on Ohtani building up, because remember, he's in the All-Star game pin and he's leading off. He's playing in the All-Star game, so it's a lot of stuff building. It's a lot of pressure.
After he gets pulled out, he's still going to be the DH. He went to the MLB and was like, please break this rule. And they were like, for you, anything. Yeah. And then some people say he can't be the face of the league because he can't speak English. I'm leaving that alone.
But guys, with all that pressure mounting on him, I don't think he's gonna take the home run derby as serious. So if he loses, I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's more focused on the All-Star game. He might really want to win MP of the All-Star game because that's a little bit more prestigious to him. If he wins All-Star,
And you know what we put procedures in that? Wow. Winning both.
Bro, yeah, well, I mean.
Yo, he wins
both. Bro.
If he wins both, he needs to be traded to a championship.
Imagine how he wins tonight. The fucking sack on the guy walking into the All-Star field tomorrow. Come on now.
Do you know how crazy it is, bro?
You call him Godzilla for real.
Looks like a baby. Like, yeah, you ever see it? When he smiles, yeah, it's like, bro, he's elementary school. And then when he hits the ball, like, they get put on, bro. It's like, I thought NASA shut down, shuttles going in space. But Ohtani didn't get the message because this dude is still sending balls out of here, bro. Mm-hmm. It's wild. But again, I'm taking the field. I don't care what no one says. And by the way, can I vent real quick for 1 second? I promise I won't bother nobody's time. I promise. This kid is going to be the face of baseball. For anyone who thinks that he cannot be because he cannot speak English, hey, morons. Barry Bonds at one point was the face of baseball, and he did not hate. He despised the media to the point where he wouldn't talk to y'all. So stop and let communication is that very important. This kid is phenomenal. Baseball is the one sport where you don't need to talk. You only need to play. Ask anyone, what's the first time you ever heard Fernando Tatis Jr. say? No one going to say nothing. And the few people who are going to say it is that commercial when he apologized for changing all the rules. So I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, he can't speak English. Guess what? I don't care if he can't speak English. I don't care if he speaks Hindu, Chinese, Portugal, Spanish. Guess what? In baseball, there's one language you need to learn, and it's placate. And this dude is placate. I'm going to get out of here, bro. So I don't want to hear nothing about that. I apologize. We may continue.
Pride, a man of the people, a messenger of the league. There you go, fellas. And my man Ohtani, the real deal. Get me some Skittles, boy. Get me some Skittles. And speaking of Skittles, I do got to touch up on my Blazer predictions, you know. Brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Make sure you guys ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends at Clover Crest Media Group sent her. And especially the boys from Stir the Pot Sports. Especially, you know, your boy JJ, you know, the guy who just so happened to get his prediction right against Sanders. And I came up here talking about Skittles and whatever. My guy Messi did not let me down. He led Argentina to a big win over Brazil for his first Copa whenever. Shout out to Messi, really cemented himself in the cool conversation for real. They beat Brazil, like I said, 1-0. Really held them down defensively after they scored that goal. Messi wasn't really aggressive and a big, huge factor in that game, but nonetheless, he played a role into the team getting there, and him being on the field alone is an X factor of itself. Shout out to Messi, guys. You know, this is the biggest accomplishment of his career by far, and I'm just really happy for the guy. And of course, I satisfied my sweet tooth from that Skittles that I got from
Tanner. Who scored the goal in the 22nd minute? Oh, yeah, it was Messi. Oh, wait, it wasn't. My bad.
Danica. And then he got hurt, too. But so it was even more impressive that they were able to hold down Brazil and Neymar, you know.
I will give them that, like, to hold Brazil to get a 1-0 type of win, bro. That's impressive. That's some brilliant keep away. That's some good, gritty defense that they had. So I ain't even gonna be mad because I like Messi. You know, Messi, I like him. I ain't gonna poo-poo on him. You feel me?
Yeah, he got the one that he's been missing his entire career. You know, so then that is just a cherry top. So go ahead.
You know what I love more than Messi, Sander? Skittles. What you got for me for your prediction, boy?
Oh, man.
Well, my prediction went to shit, really. I mean, my guy started doing my leg from Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor getting the double with Poirier in the third round with a KO. But unfortunately, the dude's ankle fibula did the bent back paperclip. You know what I'm saying? Did the poor little tick. And I couldn't deal, man. Look at that, man. Ah! What was so dope about the whole thing too, man, to make light of the situation that was tragic, you know, seeing Joe Rogan get on the ground and give the man an interview, like, man, Joe Rogan, we've talked about it before, Joe Rogan is goated for a reason in the fight game, and it's for things like that. If you watched O'Malley when he injured his leg, Joe Rogan kind of did the same thing, interviewed him while he was on the floor. O'Malley with that, I fucking love you, man. He goes, I love you too. So Joe Rogan is goated for moments like that. I wish I would have got the dub, but this happened.
Yeah, man. And it was tragic to see Conor to go out like that. You know, like I said, I was on Team Dustin, and I did want Dustin to win. But if he was going to win, I did want it to be on fair grounds in a definitive way, not based off an injury like that, because it always just leaves the question of who really would have won.
I mean, I know you're Team Dustin, bro, but against Charlie Colby, Team Dusted, because he getting smacked. But anyway, finally I lost. The pressure has been alleviated. Thank God. Being a winner is hard. As Alex Verdugo, as Tom Brady, Xander Bogaerts, it's hard being a winner. So I decided to throw myself to the Wolves, sacrificial lamb. I hate the Bucks now. There's like now, there was watching that game, there was a hatred I had that like I didn't realize existed. To the point I almost started hating the color green. I almost hit up Brad Stevens on the low. I was like, fam, we changing colors, bro. Almost. But I was like, you know what? I can't do it. Besides, he deleted my number because in the bubble, him and I, we kind of had a little tit for tat. No one knows. Yeah. He won't be a coach no more. He couldn't handle my mouth. You feel me? But look, man, I'm still chilling. I'm good because guess what? Giannis never getting a ring. He's never going to get a ring. Never. Unless to quote the great Conor McGregor, who's better than Dustin Poirier in any way, shape, or form, was that little weasel, a snake in the grass. Unless he becomes a little snake in the grass, a little weasel, and he hops chip over to another team. If he can stay with the Bucks, bro, don't matter what green this dude wears, bro. Celtic green, Bucks green. Hey, bro, Dallas green. Suns at 4, this game didn't count. So I'm good, bro. As far as my concern, JJ, my prediction, I'm still undefeated. You feel me? Losses don't count. You feel me? Like Conor. You feel me? We only count knockouts. You feel me? You feel me? So we only count knockouts over here. You feel me? So I'm undefeated. Never lost. Big ball of brain. Never lost.
Losses don't count like Nigeria over USA, but I ain't going to say that.
No. That's embarrassing.
We're going to sweep that one under the rug.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. You can't bring that one up, yeah. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys check out the Twitter page at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch TV / Clovercrest Media Group. Check out the website, clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And check us out on Spotify under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sport will be right there waiting for you. For your early morning commute or your after work commute, it'll matter. Even when you're taking a jog, if you're a jogger, whatever it is, look us up. Give us a download.
100%. Because look, bro, I don't listen to the show because I can't. You know, my voice irritates me. You feel me? But maybe some people like to burst their eardrums. So if you like to, please download. Enjoy. Please. I beg you. And you want to talk about the joggers? Look, man, I ain't talking. I'm going to connect with the people who I relate to. Hey, yo, fat people. You can listen to us while you eat. You can listen to us while you eat.
And watch.
Trust me. No, we need to watch what we eat, bro. And not because of like health or anything like that. We need to watch to make sure we don't choke on the amount of food we're cramming down our throats.
So all right, on that note, big people, little people, make sure you guys give us a listen to. Your host, JJ Vargas, my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Who all the way go? Who all the way go? Who all the way go? Damn. Damn. Damn.